We're going to take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, or chapter 4, excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 7. But I need all the kids to come up and help me for a second. I need all the kids, come on up, as you're turning your Bibles. They're going to be helping me out with something later, so yeah, all of you come on up, right up here. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read verse 7. We're in our series, Seeing Jesus. Again, we're looking to find Jesus Christ in every book of the Bible. And now we've come to 2 Corinthians. So chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 7. We're going to read just down through verse 11 as we begin. The Bible says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that we can open your word this evening, and we ask that you would help us now, and we pray that you bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I remember it was back when Eric and I were first married. It was recently after we were married. I can't remember how long, but we took a weekend, and we went up to Will and Janet's house up in Vermont for a couple days. And so we took a trip up there, and it was nice. It was before the kids, so that was nice. And so we were up there, and it's nice up there. And they had mentioned that several things to do in the area. One of those was the glass place, right? And I know some of you have probably been there. And so there's this glass like factory nearby. And so we took, I think it was one morning, and we went to wherever that was. We found the place, and it was neat because you got to see how they would make all these like glass figurines and things. Which is really interesting, right? They heat the glass up, and then they put on the end of those poles, and they blow some of it, and some of it they, you know, they spin it, and then they shape it, and it's amazing what they're able to do. And you look at that and go, I would make an absolute mess of that. Molten glass everywhere, right? Spin it too fast, it's flying off, or I'm making mistakes. It's just amazing to see what they are able to do with that. And so we enjoyed seeing that for a while. We watched that for a little bit. And then we went to the gift shop or the store that they have where they sell those things that they've made. And that was interesting as well. And I remember walking in there, looking at these things, but then like being really nervous. And there were really two reasons. One, they're glass. And two, the price of these things. And I'm pretty sure they had a you break it, you bought it policy. I don't know why they wouldn't at a place that sells glass figurines, but I remember picking those up very carefully to look at them or to, you know, turn them over and see the price on those things. Because once you have that in your hand, right, once you're holding something that's made of glass, that's that fragile, there's really only one of two outcomes that's going to happen. Either you're going to be very careful and you're going to gently set that back down, or number two, you're going to drop it and it is going to break. Once it's in your hands, there are only those two things that are going to come, right? It's going to be fine, or it's going to break. And because it's glass, right? Because it's very fragile just by the nature of how it is. And what I find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is Paul is talking about us kind of in that way. Because he says, verse 7, he says, we are earthen vessels. He say that's who we are. Right? He didn't say we're stainless steel, you know, made to last. Or we're like high density plastic or something that's going to, you know, last for thousands of years, right? Now he says, you're like an earthen vessel. And he's not doing that to tell us how, you know, how great we are, right? He's not there to puff up our pride in that. He's talking about a really easily breakable material. And that's who we are, right? We are fragile. Our life is fragile. Even we could say our lifestyle is fragile. And it's not hard to look around and find examples of just how fragile things can be in this life. And we look at our health and how quick our health can come and how quick it can go and how really fragile it is, even with all the steps we can try to take care of ourselves and to do things right. And health can be a really fragile thing that can be gone in a moment. Even, I mean, we look at how fragile relationships can be and how losing family members or like how fragile even our job security can be and how quick you can lose a job and how relationships can, you can be wounded in relationships and your pride can be broken and all of these sorts of things. We look at who we are as human beings and we see a lot of easily broken parts and a lot of things that are really fragile in our life. And we've all gone through a lot of that. We've all gone through a lot of suffering and experienced a lot of brokenness in our life where we've lost people that are close to us and things have been taken from our life quickly or sometimes it's even been over a long period of time, but we've just been reminded so often about how fragile our life is and the things in our life really are. And yet we look and say, well, God's chosen us as these sort of earthen vessels, these people that are really fragile. And there's a lot of brokenness in our life. And yet God has said, you're the people I want. And he's chosen us to do his work. And you know, it's interesting because after the triumphal entry, when Jesus Christ comes into Jerusalem, the Pharisees are like, tell the people to be quiet, right? These people need to stop cheering you and stop saying that you're the king. They need to be quiet, right? Like the, anyway, so they're like, you need to just tell them to be quiet. And Jesus looks at them and says, listen, if they were silent, then the rocks would even cry out. And so what we have there is another option, right? Instead of people, we'd like, why wouldn't God use rocks? Because they're a lot more durable, right? You break a rock and you don't have no rocks. You now have two rocks. You just have more of them, right? And we go, why did God choose us as fragile and as easily broken as we are? Why would God want us? And in our brokenness and in our fragility, God has given us this opportunity, right? He's given us something that's valuable for us in that and valuable for God in the fact that we are broken, because some things are better because they can be broken. Some things are better because they can be broken. First thing that comes to mind, honestly, when I thought of that was a Kit Kat bar, right? Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar, right? Until you break into that thing, I mean, it's just there in the wrapper. Another example would be like a fuse, right? It's valuable because it can be broken. I mean, you don't want a fuse that just will not break. Then it's not going to do the job that it's supposed to do. Christians are like that. And God has said, I want you to be these earthen vessels. I want you to have to go through brokenness and suffering. He says, I want you because you are fragile. Because there's something that God can do in us because we can be broken. So that's why God chooses us as earthen vessels. But how does anything get better because we are able to be broken? And I want to look in verse 10. Because here's like the main verse for tonight, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know what gets better when we're broken? The manifestation of the life of Jesus Christ through us. The brokenness gives us an opportunity to show more clearly the life of Jesus Christ. That's what happens when God allows us to be broken. And he says the dying of the Lord Jesus. And that's how I want us to see Jesus tonight. Jesus the dying. That's how we see Jesus Christ. Would Jesus Christ have been the same if he had not gone through the suffering that he did? Would he have been Jesus if he had not suffered, if he had not gone to the cross for us? And the answer is very clearly no. He would not have been. Right, he would not have been the same. He had to go through all of that. And he went through the suffering of a human body, needing thirsting and hungering. We see Jesus Christ being weary. And there's stories in the New Testament about Jesus Christ working even while he was tired and ministering even while he was tired. And there's the life of Christ set against the backdrop of the brokenness of Christ, even in his physical body. We see over and over the Jesus Christ enduring the contempt of the religious elite, right? The Pharisees and the scribes and those people. And he willingly stood up to them and said, I'm going to take the hate and the ridicule and the mocking of these people. And Jesus Christ could have courted them and tried to gain favor with them, but he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And they hated him for this. They hated him for what he did. And he was willing to suffer that, to suffer the being despised and being hated by these people. He suffered just the discomfort of the sort of lifestyle that he had as this one who would wander around and do the will of God in these different places. And he looked at one person who said, I want to follow you. And he said, well, listen, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, I don't have a permanent place. And he said, if that's what you're looking for, you're not going to find that sort of comfort in following me, because Jesus Christ didn't have that. So he suffered discomfort in the lifestyle that he chose. And we see who he was set against that. And then, of course, we have the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, where in the garden, he prayed, Father, if it be willing, let this cup pass from me, that cup of suffering. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When Peter, as he's being arrested, tries to stop them from arresting Jesus Christ and taking him to that cross, Peter pulls out his sword and tries to stop him. And Jesus Christ said, listen, if I wanted to, I could call all the angels to get myself out of that. But he said, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'm going to go through this suffering. And then he went to the cross, and on the cross, people said, why don't you save yourself? Why don't you come down from that cross? And he could have. He could have come down from that cross, but he didn't. And what Jesus Christ did was he chose, in his life, brokenness. And he chose suffering. And you know, it's so amazing to see who Christ was set against all that he went through, what he chose to go through. He was willing to go through all of that for the gospel, right? For us. But also, how more amazing is the forgiveness of Jesus Christ as he hangs on that cross? And we see the forgiveness where he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did, when he says that on the cross. Because it's different, him saying that on the cross versus him just saying that in the comfort of a home, right? Set against that backdrop where we see how much he is suffering, how broken he is on that cross, because those people did that to him. And yet we see his forgiveness. And we see the love of Jesus Christ shining forth greater, more clearly, because of what he went through. When we see him taking time when he's tired and wants to be alone, right? He's exhausted in this human body, and yet we see him take time to care for people. When we have the love of Christ, the care of Christ set against the suffering that he went through, we say that's amazing. And all of a sudden it's brought out more clearly because of what he went through. And he could have chosen to avoid all of that, but he chose to go through all of that. He chose to be broken. He chose to live that sort of life. He did that by choice. And what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is, the life of Christ involves brokenness. It involves suffering. It involves trials. It involves tribulation. It involves all of those things, because those provide a much better contrast for the life of Christ. That's what Paul is saying when he says in verse 10, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we have that. We're going through that brokenness because that the life of also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Context matters. The context of the holiness and the love and the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy of God. We go on and talk about all these characteristics that we see in Jesus Christ, that we say, this is what it means to live like Christ. All of those matter in the context that we see, in that Jesus Christ was suffering so much at the hands of these people and all that he went through, because we go through that too. And we understand what it means to go through that suffering. And the context of that matters. It'd be like if I told you I ate a bunch of fruit today, and then you find out later it was like chocolate-covered raisins. You go, context matters in that. Like, they're covered in chocolate, and I don't even know if we count raisins as fruit, but I don't know. Or I say, listen, I had 6 cups of water today, and then you find out it was because I made Kraft mac and cheese, right? 6 cups of water, most of it's boiled off, right, or strained out of there. But I'm like, hey, you know, context matters in that case. And listen, the context of our life matters as we show forth Jesus Christ. And the context, many times, is brokenness. If we want to really be clear in how people see Jesus Christ in our life, the life of Christ made manifest, it is set forth very clearly against the backdrop of brokenness. And if we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says in verse 6, God who commanded, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Right? So this light has been shined forth into our hearts as earthen vessels. And he says it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's one of those things, those phrases you got to like read a couple times before you really dial in on what he's saying. But it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Right? So it's the knowledge of how great God is, and it's in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's knowing the glory of God by seeing Jesus, right? Knowing how great God is by looking at Jesus Christ. So that light, seeing Jesus Christ, and by that, knowing who God is, knowing the greatness, the glory of God, that light has been placed and shined into our hearts. So now, people know how great God is by seeing Jesus Christ in us. That's what Paul's saying. That's the light that's been given to us, that's been placed in us as earthen vessels. And we have that privilege and that responsibility to be able to show people who God is. And we look at that and go, we are not really up to that task, are we, as in who we are, right? That's something that we definitely need the help of God to do, and God's enabling, God's power, and God working through us. And God has done that, right? God has helped us. God has given us opportunities to really show very clearly who Jesus Christ is, and in showing Christ, showing God the Father to them by brokenness, by allowing us to be fragile and allowing us to be earthen vessels, because we need the context to really show the substance of how great God is, how great Jesus Christ is. To really show who he is, we need that context. And so we're better when we're broken. As Christians, we are better when we're broken. And Paul gives us then this illustration of how this has worked in his life. So he says in verse 8, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So he says several positive things, right, in these two verses. He says, well, we're not distressed, we're not in despair, we're not forsaken, and we're not destroyed. That's the life of Christ shown through Paul. We could say that he's not distressed, so that's the peace, right? That's the peace of Christ that's being shown out through his life. He says, we're not in despair, and that's the joy. They had the joy of the Lord was their strength in all that they went through. He says, we're not forsaken. You know what? That's his confidence in who God is, in the love of God, the power of God, the presence of God. And he showed that, and then he says, we're not destroyed. Now, that's the victory. The victory of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, listen, in my life, I'm able to show out all of these things to really demonstrate the love of Christ as I go through life, but that's really only half of verses 8 and 9, isn't it? Because there's a part that he always puts before. He says, you know, we're able to do that because we're troubled on every side, and we're perplexed, and we're persecuted, and we've been cast down. I mean, it would be a really different verse if he cut all of that out. If he said, well, you know, we're just living life, you know, here we are, you know, in a house at, on the Mediterranean Sea, you know, there's a nice breeze, palm trees, I think there's palm trees, right? And, you know, whatever, we're in our recliner right there on the beach, and boy, we're, you know, we're not distressed, man, we're not in despair at all, we're not forsaken, we're not destroyed, and you go, okay, all right, I understand that. It's different, because he says, we're going through all of this. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because Paul goes through and he talks about all that he suffered and all the brokenness that he went through. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. Well, in the middle of verse 23, he says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He says, who is weak and I am not weak? And Paul knew about brokenness. Paul knew what it was to suffer and to go through all these trials and tribulations and to be a broken person in his life. But he tells the Corinthians, and he says, listen, you know what's good about this? He says, I'm better when I'm broken because people see Christ in me. He says, yes, I'm persecuted, but I'm not cast down. I'm not destroyed. I'm not in despair. I'm not distressed. I'm not forsaken. He says, people can see Christ very clearly in my life because of all that I've gone through. And he says in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. He says, we're always living right there. Like we could die at any moment. And he says, we do that because that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In his mortal flesh, the fact that he was so fragile and easily broken and could go through all of this and was persecuted and suffered. And he said all that, yet through that, they can really see Jesus Christ. And then he comes down to verse 17, and I like this verse. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you remember what he said back in verse 6? He says, we've been given this light, which is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he says, this light affliction, it's just for a moment, but boy, what an opportunity. What an opportunity, Paul said, that is, that's going to work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He was better because he was broken. And you know, we look at this chapter and we say, okay, I see the importance of being broken in order to show Jesus Christ. And I understand that I'm better when I'm broken. I'm better when I'm broken as a Christian because Christ is more clearly seen in my life. But what if I'm not going through any trials right now? And what if I don't have people whipping me or beating me or I've never been shipwrecked? Amen. Right? What if I'm not bankrupt right now, or my car's not broken down, or I haven't just lost my job, or I'm not sick, or what if I'm not going through all of that brokenness? You know, I remember a preacher in chapel when I was in college came through, and in his message, I kind of got annoyed because in his message he was talking about, I think he gave like an illustration of someone who went through some big tragedy, and then he said that God can't fully use a man until he has wounded him, right? That he made that statement that God can't fully use someone until, you know, they've been broken and he's really wounded them. And I sat there in chapel going, well, what am I supposed to do now? Like, am I supposed to like cut off a leg or like, I don't know, wreck my car? Am I supposed to like somehow wound myself so that then God can fully use me? Or do I just kind of like sit back and wait till God does something tragic in my life, and then I'm like, okay, now God can fully use me. I went, what am I supposed to do? And maybe I, in all fairness to him, maybe I misunderstood what he was trying to say, right? But I don't want us to misunderstand tonight. I'm not saying, when we talk about brokenness, that the only way to be broken is through some great tragedy or to go through something that Paul went through. And because there's another way that we can be broken, and I want to bring this out. And I want us to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Some people have taken this whole idea of suffering and brokenness and pain in order to show Christ. They've really taken it to the wrong extreme. And you have some extreme sects of Catholicism who will whip themselves and they will do that sort of thing in order to say, well, now I'm like Jesus Christ. And they inflict all that upon themselves. And that's not what God is saying. There are sometimes God brings tragedy into our life and brings suffering into our life. And he gives us that opportunity and says, okay, I'm allowing this into your life. And through this, you can be very clear in showing Jesus Christ. But then we have in Philippians chapter 2, which, of course, Paul is talking about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes through and he talks about the example and the life of Jesus Christ. And what we see are two types of brokenness in here. Yes, we see the brokenness of Jesus Christ in his suffering on the cross, but there's something else. And I want us to read in we'll start in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And there's the other type of brokenness. It's a voluntary brokenness, and it's the brokenness of our pride, where we say, I'm going to humble myself, and I will be a servant. That's a brokenness that all of us can choose every single day, to live like Jesus Christ against that backdrop of us humbling ourselves and us finding ways that we can serve other people and just being broken in our pride. I remember I think it was in the late spring, maybe early summer, I had the opportunity to go to another church not too far from here and preach the morning and evening service. So we got there in the morning in time for Sunday school, which they have before their morning service. And so we got there in time, and the pastor was away, and I was filling in for him. So we met some of the people of the church, and then we went into their fellowship hall where they had all the adults gathered for Sunday school. And one of the men was there, and he was doing the Sunday school. He did a wonderful job, very, very thoughtful. But we sat around, like, tables in their fellowship hall. They had, like, round tables there. And as we're all sitting down there getting ready to start, there was another man, and he was working like a little coffee table, kind of off to one side in the back, and he had like his coffee machine and all the paraphernalia that goes with that, you know, all his stuff. But before Sunday school started, and even kind of into the beginning, he was just went around and to each table and said, "Hey, what would you like for coffee?" He goes, "You can put your coffee orders in." And he had a little pad, and he was taking like coffee orders. And then he went back, and the entire Sunday school, or at least the beginning, right? He was making coffee for people. And he would stand back there and listen to the lesson, and they would bring someone their coffee, make another coffee. That's what he did for Sunday school. And that's brokenness, right? That's him humbling himself. He didn't have to do that. I bet there's Sundays he came in and went, "I just want to sit down and somebody else to bring me coffee." But what he did was he found a way that he could show the love of Christ to his church family. And he could just show how much he cared for people and his humility in all of that. And, you know, he probably would have loved the people just as much if he had just let them get their own coffee. I mean, I don't think it would have been a sign that he hated people. He could have come in, sat down, and still loved everybody and still been a very humble guy. But it wouldn't have been as obvious. Now, this wasn't his point to show people, like, how great he was. But what he did was he found a way to be broken. To just humble himself and say, "You know what, I'm just going to be a servant. I'll serve people coffee." And he made it really clear, the love of Christ in him, clearer than if he had just come in and sat. That's what I'm talking about, a brokenness of our pride, where we find some way of service that's honestly a bit uncomfortable and a bit inconvenient for us. And we go, "I don't always feel like doing this." And, you know, I think that's a good sign, because you know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you go back there, he says one phrase twice. He says it once near at the beginning and then once near the end. And I think this helps us understand what we're really looking for in the brokenness of our pride. He says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy," and then he says this, "we faint not." He says it again in verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Why would he have to say we faint not? Well, we understand what he says in between, right? All the things where he's troubled and perplexed and persecuted and cast down, and just the difficulty of the life that he lived. And he says, "I need the encouragement of not," of not fainting, right? And he had to give that to these people. And we're on the right track if our flesh is fighting us in service, right? If our flesh is saying, ah, man, you don't need to do this, or take it easy, or don't do something that difficult, that's when we know that we're really breaking our pride and humbling ourselves and lowering ourselves to do something for other people. Because we can get weary in well-doing, right? But we shouldn't. And it's because our flesh doesn't want to be broken. It doesn't want our pride to be broken. It wants it to be fat and flourishing. That's what it wants for our pride. But if we want to really show Jesus Christ, we're going to be willing to break our pride. I mean, you can't have pride to get down and wash the disciples' feet, right? And that's what Jesus Christ chose. And that was the breaking of pride and showing humility in that. And they said, if I'm your master who's done this, I mean, you need to do that as well. And he set that example for us of what it means to just be broken without having to have some tragedy come into our life or some great thing happen that everybody knows about. But it's us saying, I'm going to serve like Jesus Christ, and I'm going to live that sort of broken life so that as I serve, people can really clearly see the love of Christ and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants for us. It doesn't have to be some great tragedy or some great trial. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see Jesus the dying, and we see this light, this opportunity to show Jesus Christ. That's been given to us. And Paul says, but God's given it to us in an earthen vessel, and he's done that for a reason. He's done that for a reason because we can show it more clearly against the background of our brokenness. We're better when we're broken. And whether it's the opportunities that God brings into your life through suffering or different things of that nature, or if he just says, why don't you humble yourself and break your pride? He says, I want you to just show Jesus Christ. And I want us to ask the question tonight, how are we choosing to not be broken? How are we choosing to not be broken? Are we fighting against what God has allowed to come into our life? Those things that we go, I don't want to go through this, and I'm not enjoying this. Are we fighting against that by just getting angry and bitter and really showing who we are instead of taking that opportunity and saying, Lord, help me show you. Help me show Jesus Christ in the midst of all of that. Are we choosing to just be comfortable and fight against being broken in our pride and humbling ourselves? Are we choosing to just rather be comfortable and do what's convenient for us? And maybe tonight we need to start thinking differently about what God has allowed us to go through, right? If God has allowed you to go through something that's that's a definite trial in your life, maybe tonight it's that you just need to change how you think about that and say, well, I'm gonna view this as a wonderful opportunity to really show how great God is and to show the life of Christ in the dying of my life, in the dying of my body. Or maybe tonight we need to start looking for ways that we can be broken. And you know, as I asked the kids to help me with something, because I wanted to end this with, I think, something that hopefully will be maybe memorable. In a minute, I'm going to have, Norm, if you would turn the lights out in a minute. All the lights in the auditorium and the ones up here, and even the rear lights in a minute. Because I've told the kids that they're going to do something when the lights go out. Is anybody scared of the dark? Okay. All right, that's a trigger warning. You might want to leave. All right, but when the lights go out, I want you to listen for something, right? Because there's something that I want you to hear, and then we'll talk about it. So, Norm, if you go ahead and turn the lights off. All right, kids. All right, what did you hear? You know what you heard? Brokenness. Right? Something had to break. And every kid understands that glow sticks are better when they're broken, right? I mean, they're no fun if your parents say, no, you're not allowed to do that. They're better when they're broken. And we saw Jesus the dying. And Jesus, he told his disciples something before he went to the cross. He said, this is my body, what did he say, that is broken for you. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. And then Paul said, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you probably can't see this. I have two glow sticks up here. You know why you can only see one? Because only one was broken. I mean, there's another one up here, but I mean, what? It's still a glow stick. Both of these are glow sticks. And that's not going to change. But there's only one that's showing anything very clearly, and that's because it's broken. And I wonder what people are going to see in us. I wonder who they're going to see in our lives. Because they have an opportunity in our brokenness to see someone. And many times it's sad to say that they just see more of us. And they see the worst of us. When God has said, I want you to use that brokenness to show them who I am. And boy, what an opportunity it is that they're able to see Jesus Christ in us. And we're like this glow stick. You know what? The Bible says we're better when we're broken. So how are you broken? How are you going to be broken this week? And then who are you going to show through that? Because we're always better as Christians when we're broken. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, when we see Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us, we see his brokenness. Lord, we rejoice in what you've done for us. And Lord, you've given us this opportunity to be broken. Lord, you've brought things into our life that, Lord, it hasn't made our life more comfortable. It hasn't made it more convenient. It hasn't made it easier. But Lord, it has made us broken. And Lord, we're better because of that. We have this great opportunity. Lord, may we not, may we not run from that. May we not hide from that. And Lord, help us to find ways that we can just break our pride this week. Not so that we can be anything special. Lord, it doesn't have to be in front of a big audience and just be in front of one or two, but help us to show Jesus Christ and do it in the clearest way possible, because that's what you desire for us. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us this week. Lord, help us to live the dying of Jesus Christ so that the life of Christ can be made manifest in us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.